This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
It's been a great start to the NFL season, and it's only getting better at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. DraftKings is kicking off another week of action by giving new customers a can't-miss offer. Just bet $1 on any football game this week and receive $150 in free bets. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps to receive $150 in free bets. That's promo code FANRUN in all caps to receive $150 in free bets instantly. This week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older in Tennessee only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line. 1-800-889-9789.
Axe House, Pigeon Forge Factory Outlet Mall, right across from the giant Holiday Inn on the main drag here. All day tomorrow, 50-cent wings, delicious. $10.99 12-inch two-topping pizzas, had one of those. $2 domestic drafts, haven't had one of those just yet, but it's almost 5 o'clock, if you know what I'm saying. So be sure to stop by here tomorrow, throw a few axes, man. It's a terrific spot they got up here in Pigeon Forge at the Axe House. Bear, good afternoon. How are things back in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios?
Oh, man, it's a fantastic Friday.
I trust
it's absolutely gorgeous outside. You know, it's just me, Jake the Snake, and Cam Black. So
I trust you guys are holding it down back there. I got a special guest down here with me.
Is that right?
You'll never know who decided to roll into the Axe House this afternoon. You'll never guess.
It wasn't McClure, right?
Wrong. Trey Wallace.
Hold on now. Okay, you've already busted it, and I heard the patented Trey
snicker.
Yeah.
Good afternoon. This is fun. I was in the neighborhood, and I didn't even know that this place is awesome. Didn't even know really this place was here, to be honest with you, and got to come out and look at it.
Just go ahead, get it out of the way. Hang on the rim for a minute. I know it's not your style to pat yourself on the back.
And he misses this.
Yeah,
Trey Wallace, and I've never really took him to be an exceptional athlete or anything. He is without question the best axe thrower I've ever seen.
I don't doubt it. I mean, he's from Lower Alabama.
What was your number?
He's burly.
18 in a row.
18 in a row.
Bullseyes.
He was sticking it.
Yeah, yeah. They even tried to cheat and water the boards down. Didn't work. Still got him.
I've yet to stick one, but
we found your sport, Trey. That's fantastic.
Thank you, man. I'm glad. I'm just sitting across from Russ. Wish you were here, but sitting across from Russ, this is fun, man.
Well, I mean, it's fun for me and Jake. We kind of get a break from the boss today.
There are no breaks on the Drive Bear. I'll have you know, folks. Get your crown pick of the week in on Facebook, facebook.com/TheDriveWithRussellSmith. Give us your score prediction for the Vols and Gators tomorrow night in the Swamp. Closest score prediction wins fabulous gifts and prizes courtesy of Crowd Cleaners and Qdoba of Knoxville. Of course, we'll have voluntary reaction for you tomorrow night as soon as the game is over. And all right, boys, here we go. 28 hours to go till kickoff. Is it how are we feeling? How are we feeling?
Like I'm ready to, you know, beat some dude in a braided belt's ass about right now. That's how I'm feeling. It's Friday before Florida.
I think it's an interesting matchup tomorrow night. I would think Tennessee just needs to go down there and play like they have nothing to lose.
Yeah.
Just throw everything against Florida you can. And just hope you come out of there with a win. I found a stat, Bear. The last time Florida was favored by 20 points or more at home was last year against LSU. And I think everybody remembers what happened. The Tigers went into Gainesville, won that game. That was the Marco Wilson
the shoe game. Yeah, and then there was a mean fog that rolled through there.
Yes.
As I recall as well. So crazy things happen when the Gators and Bayou Bengals together. So I will, not to be that guy right off the top, Captain Negative here, but I want to point out LSU was the defending national champion.
Yeah, they were 5-5 going to that game. Yeah. No, I'm sorry, 4-5 going to that game.
Yeah.
Come on.
No, I just say it. You know, I don't think we're quite on that level. But who knows? Stranger things have happened. We have five things I want to see. I'm going to share those with you coming up here in just a few moments on the show. But Trey, the team is they're down there.
Yep.
Flew out earlier today. They've got the we're going orange britches tomorrow.
Orange
I saw
britches,
that tweet.
White top. Yeah. White jersey.
We'll see. Any thoughts on what the quarterback situation will be?
I think it's going to come down to what they just discovered this morning by looking at Joe, trying to figure him out. I mean, they've known what's going on for 24 hours. It's not going to surprise me one bit if Hooker and Milton play tomorrow for Tennessee. I know Josh Heupel said he wanted to go with one quarterback. He'd prefer, to just have one, not play two. But I think tomorrow you probably will see a little bit of Milton if he's healthy enough pregame. And we'll find out. You know, we'll find out an hour and a half before the game who's taking snaps under Cooper Mays. And once that happens, it'll happen. So Josh has done a good job of keeping it quiet.
The thing with Milton that I find a little bit baffling is that we've heard multiple reports from people that have seen him. I know somebody who saw him in the complex the day after the Pitt game, the day after the injury supposedly happened, and said he was walking around just fine.
Yeah.
And then I heard some other reporters talking about how he was seen in the complex on Monday of this week during the press conference, walking around in flip-flops without a care in the world.
Yeah.
And yet you hear Heupel tell it yesterday. Well, he was able to do a little more yesterday, like making it look like he hasn't practiced much this week. And then we'll know more today when we look at, and it's just, I don't know. Am I missing something here?
It sounds like Dan Mullen when he's talking about Anthony Richardson, how they were going to give him an MRI Friday night. If it came back clear, he'll be ready to go on Saturday. I don't know what the point is, Baron Russ, of them sitting around here and fidgeting and not saying anything about the quarterback. You already know what Milton could do. You're not hiding anything.
I mean, what you're doing is you're forcing Todd Grantham and Dan Mullen to have to split time between, because they are different kinds of quarterbacks. They're gonna defend us differently if Hooker's in the game versus Joe Milton.
I mean, I've come to the realization that I don't think Heupel is ever going to be straightforward and honest about his quarterbacks with the media. That's not a complaint as much as just an observation. He's hardly the only coach. You mentioned Dan Mullen that does that these days. That's just college football in 2021. Any sort of microscopic advantage we can possibly get, we're going to take it, even if it's just a hope of some microscopic advantage. I don't really think there's any advantage. I'm kind of with you. I don't think there's much advantage to keeping it quiet. But that's the way Heupel's going to be, and there's really no reason for him to be straightforward and honest about it, so he's just not going to.
Well, I mean, if he's got an ankle problem.
Like Saban to Maria Taylor a couple of years ago. I'm not going to tell you, so stop asking.
Well, I mean, yeah, but Florida's going to bring the house. If Milton's in the game, Florida brings the house. If it's Hooker in the game, like Bear was talking about, they're two different types of quarterbacks. So, you know, I just – Hooker has the ability to get outside or get away from the tackle. So that's kind of why I would prefer Hooker. Kind of what we've been talking about since last week.
Mm. A lot going on today. The Ryder Cup is underway up there in Wisconsin. And Team USA, not a bad start. We'll see if they can keep it up in the afternoon session. We got a full slate of college football tomorrow. The NFL coming up. We'll do a high school preview for you as well. A lot to get to, as I said, this afternoon on the show. We're live at the Axe House in Pigeon Forge. Would love to see you if you want to stop by this afternoon. Obviously, I'll be here till 6 p.m. Doing the show right here in Pigeon Forge. So would love to see you. We're in the Pigeon Forge Factory Outlet Mall. Just put that in your GPS, and you are sure to be able to find us. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back more with Trey, plus five things I want to see from Tennessee tomorrow in the Swamp. Stay tuned. The drive continues right here on Fan Run Radio.
Radio.
Drive continues live this afternoon at the Axe House in Pigeon Forge, where they are debuting some new menu items, including burgers for the first time today. We were the guinea pigs. I've never been so happy to be a guinea pig. The burger I ate out here was it's like legit one of the best burgers I've ever eaten. I mean, I couldn't finish it. It was just gigantic. Bacon burger, cheddar cheese, and a special secret sauce on there and everything. I mean, it was, and this is after we had, I mean, they brought out like four different appetizers on us, macaroni cheese bites, regular cheese bites, the corn dog bites that John Reed is so fond of, and the skins. What do we call the skins that we had over there? The kill shot taters. Oh,
the kill shot.
They were the kill shot.
Sounds like something I was doing earlier.
I was cheese, bacon, ranch.
Are you still talking about what all you've eaten today?
Yeah.
Yeah, he is.
Trey,
yeah.
He did that deal where he's fed himself, you know, because he's a glutton. At the first sign of any drowsiness, just slap him.
That's not true. I'm full of Diet Coke and caffeine. I'm ready to go. Folks, come on out and see him tomorrow for their special all-day tailgate party featuring 50-cent wings, $10.99 12-inch two-topping pizzas, and $2 domestic drafts, all for you out here at the Axe House in Pigeon Forge. And, yeah, the axe throwing as well. They had to hire Trey Wallace to do, like, some sort of tutorial video or something.
Do a seminar, just one-handed throwing.
Freaking lumberjack over here was just on a roll. It was really incredible. All right, boys, let's get back to it. We've got Trey for one more segment here on the show this afternoon. Trey, I'm going to do five things I want to see.
Sweet.
Coming up when you get out of here. What do you want to see? If you're Josh Heupel, you're covering this team, and what do you think Heupel, other than the obvious one more point than Florida, like what does he want to see stylistically from his team tomorrow?
Well, I mean, you want to see a football team that can run the ball. I mean, you go back and look at the performance they put up against Tennessee Tech. I especially with the offensive line. I mean, if you're getting Cooper back, that means you're able to put Jerome Carvin over at guard. You've got a situation where Cade Mays can be able to play. So, really, when you break it down, you know, can Tennessee get over the 100-yard mark, which Alabama failed to do last weekend? And if you can do that, maybe you can open up things down the field. I don't know if Jabari Small is going to play tomorrow. Feels kind of doubtful to me, but maybe he gets a little bit of a run. So we're going to find out soon, man. It's very interesting to see how this plays out when it comes to the secondary for Florida and then also what Tennessee can do vertically down the field.
Yeah, I think that if they are going to run, if they are going to have that kind of success running the ball, it's going to have to mostly be the quarterbacks, right? Because I just
Tyon ought to be back. I mean, maybe Tyon could get something going.
Played last week. He was not impressive.
Yeah, but he only played like 8 or 9 snaps last week, and they really put him in the goal line situation.
To kind of get him some run. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, he scored a touchdown down there in the goal line.
Let's not kid ourselves. That's not our – you know, that wasn't our best five linemen last week either.
No,
we've got to get our line healthy.
Bear has done a complete 180 degree turnaround from the deepest of darkest depressions that he was mired in Monday afternoon to now. He's like, oh, you know, we didn't put our best foot forward. We had some guys out. We were saving some things for Florida. I think we got a chance tomorrow.
I mean, it's like I said, it's Friday before Florida.
What's the line on FanDuel? Is it 18 right now?
It's 18 and a half.
Okay.
Yeah, 18 okay. and a half right now. I'm taking Tennessee in the points.
What was it last year? Was it 16 and a half? Or was it was
it
under 18?
Right, it was right around there, yeah.
Yeah. The backdoor cover, infamously.
They don't cover against us in these big spread games where they've been really favored by a lot. They didn't.
No.
I mean, I guess that sounds stupid. I mean, it's a big point spread, but.
Well, go ahead and put some money down on it, Bear.
Barry, you put $100 on the Tennessee Florida game?
Your money, man.
Give me Tennessee 7 points and I'll lay the bet with you.
I'll just give it back to you, man.
You just giving him the money back?
I've had an envelope forever.
He's got it in an envelope marked Trey's Money sitting next to his nightstand.
Yeah. Are you preparing for the apocalypse?
He looks
You're
at it every
night.
You're
the only friend of mine I've ever let pay a bet. Usually I just blow it off if I win. If it's something like that, especially if it's as dumb a bet as the one you made me. I mean, you bet on Tennessee with no, you know, on what? What do you call that? The money line?
Yeah, the money line.
You took Tennessee on the money line in the swamp. It's like taking candy from a baby. No, I'm not putting any money on the game. I'll tell you the one thing I want to see, though.
Yeah.
Florida players laying on the field writhing in pain.
Wow. Wow. That 21 minutes in and Bears already calling for the harvesting of the ACLs. By the way, guys, Tyon Evans did have 15 carries last week.
So it was 15?
15 carries for 40 yards against Tennessee Tech.
Yeah, but he's also coming out of COVID protocol. He hadn't been with the team. He hadn't been practicing.
Not the same offensive line. He's in COVID protocol. Had been practicing. The game was played.
Well, I mean, wait. You know, I've got a little bit of experience. You know, you don't have the same energy even after 10 days stuck inside, quarantined. Come out of it, you're kind of sluggish feeling.
I think it would be interesting to see how a freshman like Jalen Wright performs if he's called to duty on the road in the swamp at night. You know, because you know they're not going to play D-back with. So it's going to be Jalen Wright or it's going to be – what, Lyneth Whitehead would be the third if Jabari can't go because of his shoulder?
He looked okay in limited. It's just so hard to have any real big takeaways from the Tennessee Tech game. Tomorrow will be it will be an interesting litmus test to see just where Tennessee is, how far they have to go, if any.
My biggest thing is, do you think Florida – no, I'm sorry. You think Tennessee holds Florida – under 290 yards rushing, which is what they put up against Alabama last week.
That seems like such a modest goal, but I mean, I don't know. I mean, the one thing that I will say for Tennessee is I've been impressed with Tim Banks' defense.
I have too.
And I know that they haven't exactly played a murderer's row. Tomorrow will probably be their stiffest chest test, even more than Pitt was. But I've been surprised. I mean, it hasn't been a lot of miscommunication, misalignments. They look like they're lined up pretty good. You don't see a lot of just wide open receivers running down the field, total busts, thing like that. I think they're just lacking in pass rush and playmaking ability, but I don't know how much that's coachable versus it's just they don't have those guys.
Well, Barrett, Russ, I mean, I don't know about you, but if Juwan Mitchell is going to be playing tomorrow, I'd make him a spy on Emory Jones.
Yeah.
I'd try to bring the house. Bring the blitz off the corners if you want to. Make Emory Jones throw the football. Make him make mistakes tomorrow. I think that's the biggest thing that the defense can do because I don't know how hard – I mean, I'm sorry. I don't know how easy it's going to be to get pressure on the quarterback if you're just rushing four.
Trey, I want to get your score prediction here in just a second. But first, we got to ask you about the ticket thing before you get out of here. I know that's something you've been following closely.
Yeah.
I'll be honest, like this story, when I start reading the details, my eyes kind of glaze over. It's not that big a deal to me, but I know for a lot of people, your family has been season ticket holders for a long time. So as Bears, I know a lot of our listeners obviously go to Tennessee games. What, now that there's been a good 48 hours to kind of digest Tuesday's announcement, what is the, or Wednesday's, I guess, what's your big takeaway about what's about to happen with the ticket situation under Danny White going forward?
I want to know where they're going to go find this new generation of season ticket holders that are going to pay this amount of money. And I know they're somewhat lowering cost, and that's fine. But I'm really interested to, okay, if people want to get involved, they can. But a lot of people seem to forget that you can buy season tickets right now without having to give a donation. And the fact that season tickets are, what, $54,000 for this year, $55,000? You've got 17,000 season tickets that are open. So now you're expecting, let's just say, 17,000 more people to buy season tickets in the future under this new plan. I just think there's going to be a lot of interesting legal jargon that goes on with some of these season ticket holders. I mean, I've seen pictures on the internet of guys that have stuff with Bob Woodruff and on, you know, paper towels and these weird.
The general assigned these seats over to me in 1952, and you ain't going to take them back, by God.
I'm just interested to see how this plays out and what's the reaction going to be. And the other part about it is basketball, too, where a lot of people are under that umbrella, you know, and they're trying to get more people involved with basketball, which I don't think is going to be a problem. But my biggest thing is I do agree with the situations where if you got somebody sitting in Section T, let's just say on the 45, and they're having to pay $10,000 a year in a donation just to be able to buy tickets, but you got somebody two rows down that maybe is not having to pay a donation or having to pay like a $1,000 donation.
Yeah.
That's the big difference to me.
That's and fine.
That's it not right.
Fine.
Well, yeah.
You know how they could fix it though, Trey? What my idea, the epiphany I've just had? You need to go through the grandfather list, and if it's the actual person that made that donation, then I think you grandfather a certain amount of people, but you actually got to be the grandfather. You can't be the grandkids, the great grandkids, the nephews, nieces, whatever. And expect to make a one-time $1,000 donation.
To me,
just re-scramble it, pretty much.
Yeah, unless that person's still alive, the person that gave the university and signed that contract that, here, I'll give you $1,000, but I get this seat, first rights to it.
But once, to your point, Trey, like, where are these extra fans going to – as I read it, and maybe I'm misreading, correct me if I'm wrong, it seems like for the vast majority of those seats, the donation is actually going to come down. And I have heard from several people who are already season ticket holders who say, sounds fine to me because this is actually – I'm actually going to save money in the long run.
Well, that's for the people that are already paying the correct amount that is up to par with where they're sitting at. So, okay, take, for instance, my father. My father, he's not going to have to pay anymore. He's going to pay less for season tickets because the donation goes down a little bit because he's been paying so much over the years.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just going to be for the folks that have been getting by, and I don't want to say cheaply, but getting by on the cheap due to previous administrations.
Deals.
But they've had great deals.
Sweet deals.
Yeah, great deals. I don't blame them.
Yeah.
Just going to piss off a lot of the older Tennessee fans that have had this for a while.
Yeah.
And then a lot of the people like Bear was talking about who have gotten these tickets every year. You have to
honor. I mean, if there's a guy out there that's been buying tickets and he's been going to the games or she's been going to the games, he's physically been there for over 30 years since the good old days, and he's remained loyal through this last 12-year period, you, in my opinion, have to bend over backwards to take care of that guy. It's not somebody you want to be teeing off. Now, if somebody bought some season tickets, 10 years ago, or even toward, the tail end of the former era, and maybe they had a sweetheart deal or something to do that, and you've got to rearrange some things to get a higher donation out of them, hey, man.
Sit them somewhere else.
Them's the breaks, but I mean, if you've had folks that were there for the glory days and stood by you through this mess that the self-inflicted mess that they have created, the self-created debacle for the last 12 years, and you go back to them and basically demand more money out of them, that's a bad look to me. That's
a bad look to me. You're not getting another dime from my family. So I promise you. Those weren't the exact words that were given, but – it's just not happening. You got to be able to put a product on the field that's worth paying for the money.
Again, I don't know that you just can't wait for something that might never happen as far as getting football fixed. But
let's not act like Tennessee's the Green Bay Packers and they've got 30,000 people waiting to buy season tickets.
Well, that's another thing, Trey, is if this is what you're going to do, and I realize it's probably a pretty big project, took a while, and maybe they just now got all the I's dotted and T's crossed, I would much rather have announced that right before the season, when you're still undefeated, everybody's drinking the Kool-Aid and all that kind of thing, as opposed to now, you just, less than 2 weeks removed from that loss to Pitt that was very disappointing, and you're headed to the swamp where you're an 18-point underdog. I don't know if this was the best time in the world to announce those changes.
No, I agree completely. And also, the football part's different than the basketball and the baseball part because that's not going to happen for a minute until 2022 later on. But the football thing is, look, football's being played. And if you want to put something out about football and you're pretty much going to be taking away tickets from people, making them pay more, not the right time. I agree.
All right, Trey.
Yep.
Put you on the spot. What's your score? Give me score.
I'm going to go 31-23 Florida.
Ooh.
31-23. Yes, 31-23.
And the game ends with us throwing into the end zone.
A chance to yeah, an interception. Yes.
Oh, no. Harrison Bailey interception.
A Harrison Bailey, yeah, because all the other quarterbacks can't play. No, but I think it's 31-23. I think Tennessee actually comes out tomorrow, does a few things, it makes it interesting. Florida puts it away in the fourth quarter.
I hope so, and I'll go ahead and spoiler alert. That's my biggest thing that I want to see. I told this to Christopher Gabriel yesterday. I just want to see a Tennessee football team that's in there with a puncher's chance at some point in the second half. And listen, I'm going to go ahead and tell you right now, I'm not picking Tennessee to win, but if there's a moment in the, even if it's just in the middle of the third quarter where Tennessee throws a haymaker and you see a little bit of, you know, worry on the Florida sideline. To me, hey, that's better than the last time Jeremy Pruitt went down there.
Maybe if they're at the 1 yard line and they have a chance to make it an 8-point game. And
oh, no. Tim Priest, turn your television off. Damn it.
I know. It happens.
All right, Trey, thanks for coming out today, buddy. Good to see you.
Man, this has been fun. I really do appreciate it. Thanks for inviting me out. And Bear, wish you were here, but I'll see you soon, buddy.
Absolutely, Trey. It was great having you.
All right, boys, y'all be good.
I'm going to challenge somebody to an axe throwing contest. And
now
Trey's
that I
on
leave?
My, yeah, no, Trey's on my side. I'm going to bring you in as my ringer.
That's a good point.
All right, Trey Wallace leaving the building, ladies and gentlemen. We will be back with five things I want to see. We're live this afternoon at the Axe House in Pigeon Forge. Stay with us. We're back with more right after this.
The Drive.
So you're watching the game. Back here on The Drive, Fan Run Radio, coming to you live this afternoon from the Axe House. Always good to be back up in Pigeon Forge, and always good to be with you here on Fan Run Radio on a Football Friday, getting you ready for the Florida game. This has been a bizarre Florida week, but we're here to wrap it up with you for the next 2.5 hours. Russell Smith, Bear, Jake Miller, The Drive on Fan Run Radio. Go ahead and throw up in the G3 Help Me hotlines here, 865-546-8200. Your number if you want to get on the show, 546-8200. Give us a call. Jake Miller will greet you as you call in this afternoon. All right, boys, five things I want to see. Bear, are you ready?
Am I ready?
That's what I asked you. Are you ready?
Yeah. Yeah, I've called for the harvest. I mean, I'm ready. I want it. It doesn't sound to me like you're ready. You want to know the God's honest truth, Russell?
Sounds like
I'm fully prepared, always ready to deliver five things I want to see. Number one, no three and outs. I feel like this, no offense to our morning show, but I feel like this is where it could go wrong quickly for Tennessee. Three and outs would be disastrous tomorrow because it's probably going to be less than a 2-minute, probably less than 90-second possessions if that's what indeed happens, and you're going to be punting it back to a team that is just absolutely mauling people right now with their ground game. That would prove disastrous. I hate to start with a negative, but that's got to be number one for me. No three and outs on offense for Josh Heupel and company tomorrow. Number two. Win the turnover battle. I feel like this is going to be the key statistic. If Tennessee wins, they're going to have to be at least +2 in the turnover department. I think you have to play as close to a perfect game, you know, as you possibly can yourselves. And then somehow, some way, you have to manage to create some turnovers, and then you have to turn them into points. So number two, win the turnover battle. Number three, win the kicking game. Is this the week that can Avalus Jones scoot loose? Can you draw up another punt block like he did against Pitt? Something to manufacture some points and turn the tide, the momentum of the game. I feel like if Tennessee's going to win again, there has to be a big game-changing play in the kicking game. Number four, a defining performance from any quarterback. Any quarterback. I don't care who it is. This talk about is it Milton or Hooker? Hooker sound like he's going to get the first snap. Like, I don't care at this point, Bear. If Bailey comes off the bench and grabs the job grabs the bull by the horns. I'm fine with that. I would love nothing more to come out of this game saying, all right, we're not going to do what we did on voluntary reaction the past 2 weeks, which is run a Twitter poll, which is getting all kinds of different results as far as who should be the starting quarterback. It would be great to come out of this game with that question answered.
Win or lose. Yeah.
For good. And then number five, I told you, Bear, I just want to see a close game in the second half. I know the Twittiots out there listening say, oh, moral victory, waving the white flag, whatever. Look, man, the last time Tennessee went down there, the game was over at halftime. Remember, they started Maurer, and then they went back to Garantano. Tennessee was non-competitive the last time in the Swamp. I would love nothing more than to see Dan Mullen have to sweat it out a little bit at some point in the second half, a look of bewilderment. You catch him off guard a little bit. I just want to see a Tennessee team that that makes Florida earn it, if indeed they're going to win in the second half. Those five things I want to see. Number one, no three and outs. Number two, win the turnover battle. Number three, win the kicking game. Number four, a defining performance from any quarterback. And number five, a close game in the second half. Bear, what say you?
That may be your best top, your best five things since you started this. I don't disagree with any of them, especially number five. I just want him to go down there and play tough. Excuse me.
My final score.
What is
it? Got us covering, Bear. Florida 41, Tennessee 24.
Yeah, he ain't believing yet.
17 points.
17 points?
Yeah.
You think they're 17 points better than us?
Hey, me and Vegas both. So, I mean, I'm actually giving them slightly more credit. Listen, I hate to be that way. I'm trying to bet this with my brain, not my heart. I got suckered into that last season. I don't even remember what I picked, but I know I bet Florida to cover, and it didn't work out. So, yeah, I mean, Tennessee is just going to have to show me something before I'd be willing to pick them. Are you – I mean, I take it you're going to give Tennessee much better chances than I'm giving them.
Yes. But the one big thing I want to see is just to go down there and play him tough. Punch him in the mouth. You're going to get hit in the face, but punch back and do it for four quarters. Play hard for four quarters. Leave it all out on the field. And if we win, we win. If we lose, we lose.
Folks, five things I want to see brought to you this afternoon by FanDuel. The biggest game of week three is Monday night. Philadelphia, Dallas. FanDuel Sportsbook is about to make it even bigger. They're giving customers 30-1 odds on either team to win. New customers, 30-1 odds on either team. That means you can end the NFL week by winning $150 on just a $5 bet. So, I mean, I don't even know who's the favorite in this game. I guess it, well, I don't know who the favorite is. Let me pull up FanDuel here and see. However you feel about it, place your bet. 30-1 odds. You can't beat it, man. That's why they're America's number one sportsbook app. FanDuel gets it done. It's sports betting made simple, and they're always hooking you up with great offers like this. Plus, when you win, you get paid in as little as 24 hours. See for yourself why FanDuel is America's number one sportsbook. Just sign up with our promo code DRIVE1 this week before Dallas takes on Philly. You could win $150 on a $5 bet. Remember to use promo code DRIVE1 so they know I sent you. You must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. New users only. $10 first deposit required. Must wager in designated offer market. Max bonus $150. Bonus for Tennessee users fulfilled in site credit within 72 hours. Tennessee site credit expires 14 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call Tennessee Redline 1-800-889-9789. Tennessee, Florida, a tradition like none other. Coming up, I've got a Rickard Ridge Barbecue smoking hot question for you. To what lengths would you go? We'll call it college football Lent. What would you do? Not for a Klondike bar, but for a win tomorrow against the Gators. We might have fabulous gifts and prizes for the best answer this afternoon on the show. Stay with us. The drive continues. More Fan Run Radio. We got the Gator Slayer, Jabari Davis, set to join the festivities in hour number two. A lot to get to. Back with more Fan Run Radio after this. Fan Run Radio, the drive continues. Russ LeBaire cruising along with you. Jake Miller back in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. I'm at the X House in Pigeon Forge getting ready for Tennessee, Florida tomorrow. This portion of the show brought to you by our good friend Les Turner at Right Approach Financial. Don't forget, folks, you got any questions about your financial future, financial planning, investing, saving for retirement, call Les Turner at Right Approach Financial. Les reminds you it's never too soon and never too late either to start planning for the perfect retirement. Give him a call at 865-498-3047. Tell him I sent you. Les Turner at Right Approach Financial, 865-498-3047. Online at rightapproachfinancial.com. Oh, man. Things picking up here at the Axe House on a Friday. Pigeon Forge, the place to be. Always, it always takes a minute to adjust when I'm pulling in. You know, you get through
the forge.
You see the, yeah, you see the upside down house and the Titanic, and you're like, oh yeah, here it comes. You're coming around the bend, and then it's just like boom. Strip.
Yeah, I love it. Boom.
It's there. The special place. Special place indeed. Jake will have an update on the Ryder Cup coming up here in the top four at four. United States doing pretty good. Pretty good so far. See if they can keep things up as we move along here. Bear is a very interesting musical milestone. Several big albums celebrating anniversaries this week. Have you been keeping up with that? You know what I'm talking about here?
Well, I know that it's the 25th anniversary of one of the greatest rock bands that ever picked it up, Tenacious D.
20 years since their landmark debut album came out right after 9/11.
Yeah. These guys are incredible.
Are you a big fan of that record?
Is that the one with Tribute on it?
Yes.
I mean, so many of those titles, I'm really kind of walking through a minefield right now.
Yeah, I had to go back and give that one a listen earlier this week. The Ringer did a great retrospective on
the D,
Jack Black and Kyle Gass. The D, yes. Named after one of Marv Albert's catchphrases in early 90s NBA basketball. Tenacious defense. He's probably talking about John Starks and the Knicks. Also, Bear, this week is the 30th anniversary of the release of Nevermind, Nirvana.
Yeah, I knew that was coming up.
Album that changed it all. And Chili Peppers, Blood Sugar Sex Magik, 30 years old this week as well.
I think that was today.
Yeah?
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah, I watched the Under the Bridge video.
Oh, great video.
Yeah, and it opens with, I mean, that's when you realize it wasn't just Anthony that was, you know, hitting the smack. What's his name? Their guitar player. God, why can I not think of the guy's name?
John Frusciante.
Yeah, Frusciante. Yeah, he took him. You remember he was 18 when he joined the Peppers. Can you imagine that?
There's a great black and white documentary. You can find it on YouTube about the making of that album and how they moved into some giant mansion in Hollywood with Rick Rubin and all the drugs and everything that was going on in the band at that time. But one of the great works of art, popular art of the 20th century from the Red Hot Chili Peppers. And Nevermind was pretty good, too.
Yeah, wasn't bad at all. I went down the Alice in Chains rabbit hole recently.
The what?
Alice in Chains, Layne Staley.
Mm.
Jerry Cantrell.
Good tunes coming out of Seattle. So 30 years ago, think about 30 years ago, Bear. It's 1991. Young Russell Smith is 11 years old. He's making his way through the world, man. He's in sixth grade. Can you believe it? Sixth grade. So young and wet behind the ears. The Volunteers are rolling. They've just completed. They're in the midst of the 1991 season. Andy Kelly is the quarterback. Pretty good team. Got a big game coming up in South Bend in a few weeks.
It was a golden age.
Yeah, yeah. And Heath Shuler hadn't even set – well, I guess he was on campus, but we didn't know. We didn't know what he was about to become. And as far as Peyton Manning goes, well, he must have been
– he was in middle school too, wasn't he?
Yeah, maybe high school, maybe a freshman down there at Isadore Newman in New Orleans. Who knew what was about to happen to Tennessee football? But it was better times, Bear. It was better times. And we had just played Florida the second year in a row. We played them in 1990 and 91 on a rotational basis. And then, of course, 1992, the conference expands to 12 teams. And we start playing Florida every year as part of Eastern Division foe. And this huge rivalry that for my generation, I know your generation older, it's always Alabama. And Alabama is certainly a big game, but for my generation, and I feel like the last 30 years of Tennessee football, the Florida game has defined what Tennessee football is. That has been the standard by which the seasons are measured. The game has nearly always been at the beginning of the schedule, except for two times now. And if you win it, you have a chance to have a really good season. If you lose it, generally speaking, you still have a good season, but you're going to finish behind the hated Gators. Terry put it earlier this week. I thought he, in an interesting way of phrasing it, right? He said, it's not a rivalry anymore because Tennessee, to be a rivalry, there has to be some give and take.
Yeah.
And he just hasn't won enough, but he said they are our nemesis. Our nemesis. They're our.
He's absolutely right.
Our Joker. They're the Joker.
They're our arch nemesis. They're Lex Luthor to our Superman.
Or maybe we're the Joker in this analogy, because they seem to be triumphing an awful lot. I'm going to get some memories, go down memory lane a little bit here in hour number two. That's the question. What would you give up for a win tomorrow? What is your best and worst memory of this rivalry? Those of you that have, like me and Bear, been around for all of it, at least the last 30 years. Hey, if you remember Tricky Dicky leaving Tennessee for Florida in 1969, by all means, give us a call. I'd love to hear from you. I realize there are just a handful of those folks probably listening this afternoon. But for those of you like Bear and I, for 30 years now, Bear, how many times have we beaten these clowns?
Let's see. We won
like six, seven times out of 30 years, whatever it's been.
Then we won 98.
Whatever it's been.
Not many.
We want to hear from you and what your memories of this series are. Because we got a special guest coming up in hour number two, Jabari Davis. We always bring him on. Florida Week, the original Gator Slayer. 3-1. 3-1 against the Gators. And would have been a perfect 4-0. If Casey Clawson and Scott Wells could have executed the wet ball drill in 2002, we'll talk to Jabari about his memories of this series as well. Stay with us. Hour number two of The Drive coming up live from the Axe House in Pigeon Forge. Jake Miller's in with the top four at four right after this.